If you're an average player, you want to be left alone, right? Because you want to be able to slide by. If you're a good player, you want to be coached. If you're a great player, you want the coach to tell you the truth every day. Did I hustle on that play? Did I make the right read? Did I play the guy with the right leverage? You want to know every play. Because you know why? They want to be perfect. Everybody here makes a choice to do one of those three things.
Welcome to the GOAT Consulting Podcast, a podcast dedicated to people striving to be a GOAT, the greatest of all time, serving it up in a way that you can get it in all stages of life. Hey, I'm Colby Jubenville. Welcome to another episode of the GOAT Consulting Podcast. To my right, as always, in studio, Pod Studio One, the kids at the playground, they call him Tyler Burnett.
Tyler? Yes, they do.
The kids in the playground.
The turf-covered playground.
The turf-covered playground. You got it. Yeah, turf-covered.
We can't do
CEO, president, rubber. Visionary, has a TrackMan golf simulator in his warehouse,
How many people you know that has that?
No one. The goat. And then to my left, as always, wearing a shirt that says who he really is. That I want to be seen for who I really am, my good friend, insurance guru, Brentwood resident.
Lover.
Love is not canceled, 2020. Lover, John Byers.
Here I am.
We're all here again.
Not canceled.
This is probably my favorite time of the week, a time that we get to slow down and tell stories. Stories that are meaning and compelling. Stories that impact other people and share ideas. And the way that we do that, I think that's powerful. And why we started this podcast is we want to do it like Waffle House, which is why we have that big bottle of syrup. If you're listening to this one, and this is the first one you decided to lean into,
You need to go back, first of all.
Thank you.
The world has listened to the first two, so you're missing out.
2020.
Yeah.
We're changing the world every time we get together. But that bottle of syrup represents a very simple idea, which is that the very first thing we want to do, and why we started this, is to serve it up in a way that people can get it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love about everybody around this table is they do that. They do it with their people. They do it in their relationships. They do it with their kids. They serve it up in a way that people can get it. Jack would probably argue with me about that, but I'm working on it.
That.
Yeah? What were you going to say?
But not in like a weird way, right? Like where we've got it figured out and we're going to impart all of our, you know, great wisdom.
We're trying to grow through this too.
Life's messy, and we're here to talk about it and tell stories about how we messed it up and why we're here today.
Making it better, learn along the way. We're also proud. Behind us, you will see a brand that we call the GOAT. And for most of us, we think of that term in sports or entertainment, something iconic. Mm. People that are known for their achievements and their recognition and how they lift up others. To me, I think Beastie Boys in my late 1990s in high school, lifting me up through those difficult years in your high school years.
That's beautiful.
No right sleep there. Till Brooklyn.
Yeah. What about Hootie? I mean, we share love for Hootie. Oh, too.
I'm not telling that story today, and you're not bringing me there today. I'm not letting you do it.
We haven't got that vulnerable yet.
But no, I'm not doing it. I won't do that. I got to pull myself together really quick here. I can't believe that you did that to me. That happened probably in our 30s. That's been that long ago. Yep. And the last part that we frame up that helps our audience understand why they show up every week and listen to the ideas that we share is that in our 20s, you get in the game. In our 30s, you move up in the game. In our 40s, you try to stay in the game because those 30-year-olds are so damn good. In our 50s, what the research says, we finally ask ourselves, what is it that I really want? What is it that I really want? And what GOATs do from a business perspective, is that they compete on unique perspective, education, and experience. And they're recognized for the impact that they make on the industry, on their business, on the people, and the world.
Ooh, that was well said.
Well, I'm getting better. It's organic. It's starting to happen. Today's episode, episode 3, is focused on one simple idea, which is defining moments. And what we know is that it's those defining moments in our life that ultimately shape who we are. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talk about is that your experience creates your stories that create your identity, that shapes your behavior and outcome. And I think all of us are great examples of that. And so we thought in our third episode, one of the foundational pieces to this is to talk about those defining moments.
And they're worth paying attention to so much.
Yeah, I think if I look back on my life at 48, I feel like those defining moments are the moments that made me who I am. I'm going to turn it over and turn it to Tyler today, because you, more than anybody in the last 24 months, have probably had more defining moments than some people have in a lifetime.
They're hard. There's so many of them, and you have them in different stages. And I think,
what's that mean? Hard, by the way. Like, what's that?
Well, I'm not. It's hard to pick one of them, defining moment, and we could be here all day, I think, but. I think that each time it happens, it's more defining, more and more defining every time.
For you.
For me.
It gives you clarity.
Absolutely.
This is where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely.
This is who I'm supposed to be doing it with.
Yes, absolutely.
It gives you energy, gives other people energy.
I sure hope so.
New levels of challenge, new levels of result.
Absolutely.
All those things. You like that, don't you?
I was excited there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Golly.
Well, see, he's in his unique ability. He's in this space that he's gotten into in his life, perspective and education experience, and it's because of those defining moments. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I think that the day we moved into our new building, just like you just said, all those past experiences all felt like they just came full circle, and I felt like I was exactly where I need to be.
Yep. And you had not felt that before in any type of work.
I felt a little bit of a void every time. Like, I felt like, you know, I feel like it was the right decision at the time, and then after you get in it, it's like, golly, that was a fearful decision. There was too much fear. It was trying to grow, but scared too.
In my 30s, I said it this way: I'd walk around and I'd say, I could have been successful.
Yeah,
I could have done something with my life. How did I end up here?
It's more like you're living to not get somewhere as opposed to living to get somewhere,
sure.
Which is what you're doing now.
And exactly. I think that's exactly it. We made a decision based on fear instead of based on dream.
At the end of your 20s, right?
Yeah. I mean, we moved in probably 4 or 5 months ago now. So
into where?
821 USA Today Way.
Come on by and see us.
21,500 square feet. May have the podcast there one day.
Or
somewhere near, you
remote.
Know.
Because Now we're St. Paul's in Mobile on location, and now at the Goat Turf Industries. What do you call that?
Empire Industries.
Empire
Family Brands.
Industries. Family Brands. It's just what they call them at the playground.
Is that for discussion?
That was good.
That was really good. Please keep that.
I will. And so the defining moment for you, this obviously at some point, you know, one of the things that I know about you is that you're more action than talk. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't think through things and make strategic decisions, but when you decide to go...
I think it goes back to what John said.
Yeah.
You know, living, it's like in sports, when you get up and you're playing football and you're up 28-0 at halftime, and you come out the second half and you play not to lose instead of to win.
That's right.
And I think that's what John was saying, is that I decide what I'm trying to be and what I'm trying to do in life now is understand... calculated risk, right? Understand, and we go through that little bit of that flow that page me and you went through is what's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? What is it going to take to get there? And I just look at what resources does it take to get there and what's the best outcome? What's the worst outcome?
Nobody knows that better than your goat, Tom Brady, coming back after halftime, way down. How many times he's been in that spot?
Well, I think about you, and so I'll give it to you from my perspective. You know, I meet with him once a week. Most of the time, and every time I walk in there, it's something different. Hey, come here. Let me show you the batting cage. Hey, let me show you the walls that we put up. Hey, let me show you the stereo and sound system. Hey, let me show you the golf simulator. You know, we're not talking about 3 months later.
I feel like we'd have better chemistry if I got invited to these parties. just throw that.
It's
there.
A week later, but there had to be a moment. This episode is about defining moments. And there had to be a moment where you said, I'm going to do the facility. And not only am I going to do the facility, I'm going to do a baseball.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me when we talk is one thing that I realized that my goal in business is to impact more people. And when I say impact more people, I mean my customers, I mean my employees, I mean my vendors, I mean the community. And when I looked at the building and the opportunity, I said, this is a great opportunity for me to recruit people to work for Goat Turf. This is going to help with retainage of good employees because they have a good place to come to. And then I have a chance to impact the community for the kids and the experiences that I had and what I learned through sports and battling through the adversity, kind of like you spoke about last episode with going to the tournament and not feeling ready and learning how to get over the hump and battle through the adversity. And I just wanted to impact Murfreesboro more.
Yeah.
And I thought, how could I do that? And with my past experiences being in baseball and then also selling netting and designing facilities, and then I still offer that. So having a place where I can bring potential customers in to see what I'm talking about,
yeah,
and to meet with me face-to-face, because I think that's when people see the value.
Yeah.
And all the experiences all together and just that trying to impact more people.
That was the defining moment.
Well, just, you know, getting that building.
Yeah. That was a game changer.
It was a game changer. The first time I was sitting in Woods Viking Barbershop, I remember it, and the guy next to me cutting hair, his grandfather-in-law is Jim Smythe. And I've talked to Jim Smythe. We talked about this last week. I've talked to him over the last 10 years. Hey, you got a building? Because he's got a lot of buildings in Murfreesboro. It's him and Swanson.
Yeah.
And I'd call him once a year. You know, when I was working for the car manufacturer, I'd call him, knew I wasn't happy. I'd, hey, you got a building I can put a baseball facility in?
Yeah.
And we had that conversation years after years, and it's just, it's crazy. And that defining moment when you sit back and think, man, I have Goat Turf here. I've got Goat Sports. I've got a place I can build relationships. And what I'm starting to do now is really find people that are really talented and put them in the right place and try to be the leader, try to be the goat like Tom Brady. And really lift those people to what they're really good at and their niche and let them excel at what they do.
As opposed to in your 20s where you're just rushing through it trying to get to the next thing.
Just rushing. That's right. I mean, and fearfully rushing, right?
What's yours, Colby?
That's the name of the next book, Fearfully Rushing.
Ooh,
by Colby Jubenville. Mine is, you know, all my stories go back to just people that impacted me in such a profound way.
Yeah. Can we go off script a little?
Yeah.
The best moments in life are off script. Can you tell the story? For me,
yeah.
I'm putting this on you, but for me, a defining moment for you.
No, don't say the Corey story. Not yet. I can't.
That hurts me.
No, we got to walk back from that. If I look back on my life, I'll get there.
Cut that out, Carl, please.
Yeah. If I look back on my life and I think about people that impacted me the most, those people were the coaches and teachers that I had that truly made an investment with me, because there's no doubt that I was a mess. I was the kid that would show up in sixth grade and say, I have no pens, no papers, no books. My shirt tail is out and I'm ready to learn. Not ready to learn.
I've got one of those at home.
Yeah. Well, those people, they have divergent thinking more than anything else. Do you know what divergent thinking is? It's when you look at a problem and then you can provide multiple solutions when only other people can just see one solution. So be thinking of it. A little side note there for you for the child psychology. But the reason that I say that those people, coaches and teachers, impacted me more than any is that coaches and teachers really did three things for me. Number one, they made me have conversations I didn't want to have. Number two, they made me try to do things I didn't think I could do to ultimately become something I didn't think I could become. And if I look where those coaches first started for me, it was at St. Paul's School in Mobile. My brother played defensive tackle, and I wanted to be the next great defensive tackle to play for the prestigious St. Paul's School in Mobile. That was just on ESPN. And so I played for a guy named Sandy Santoli, and he was my ninth grade basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And he put me on the team because I played defense, I dove for balls, and I'd take charges. And so at St. Paul's, if you make one of those teams, then you get to coach the little kids, the fourth and fifth graders. It's a intramural league, and it's boys and girls. It's co-ed back in the day, all right? And so you had 30 minutes to practice each week, and I would lay in bed with that Larry Bird poster over my bed, the three-peat. Do you know? Who he is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just
he's a goat.
Just making sure.
And so I would lay in bed and I would just think about how could I beat the other team if I've got 15 minutes, 30 minutes to practice. And so what I came up with is that we're going to have one play and we're going to practice that one play every practice. And that's the only play we're going to have. And that play is called number one.
What else would it
be? That's it. That's it. Number one. So
knowing what you know now, you probably would have called it GOAT.
That's true. Everything is. There's no doubt. And so when I said, well, let's come up with the play number one, the only person on the team that could dribble at that time was my little brother, Zach. And so Zach and I would practice this at home in the driveway every time at night when we after we got done with dinner. And so it was a man-to-man league. When they play defense, you say
why are all these names like a first and last name like Sandy Santoli?
Because they're so important.
Amanda
to
Amanda Link.
They can't
Colby
Jubenville. They can't. they're so embedded in your mind that you can't forget it.
No.
And so it was a man to man league, man to man defense. So you get what I'm saying there,
old
right?
Old school NBA here.
I'm with you.
And so I told Zach, I said, when I hold up the number one, all the rest of the kids are going to go down and set up on the blocks. Then when you dribble down, you hold up the number one, and then they go up into the stands, and they hug their parents. And what I'm thinking is, if this works the way I want it, if you teach man-to-man defense and you say, you go where they go, they'll go running up into the stands with them. He'll be one-on-one with the person in front of him. He'll jab step to the left and dribble down and shoot and score.
Makes sense.
First play. Load it up. Zach, you know what play we're running. We're running number one. Goes down there, does it. Kids go running the stands. Kids follow him. Parents start laughing, clapping. He jab steps to the left, rolls down, lays it in. We're up 2-0.
And you get lifted up. You're waving your hand and everyone's cheering.
Not yet. I have chills because even now to tell this story because I dreamed up a play that would work. And we executed it, which is what a coach is supposed to do. And so Sandy Santoli, the commissioner of the league, comes over and he grabs the microphone and he says,
that's the best play I've ever seen.
No. He leans down to me. He says, Colby, you're going to be a great coach one day, just not today. I'm waving the basket. It's an illegal play.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's the power of in that moment. And this is why it's a defining moment for me. I walked out of that gym, and I said, I'm going to coach and teach on an ever-increasing stage. Mm. And when he said to me, you're going to be a great coach one day, just not today, I'm waving the basket, here's what he did. He affirmed and validated the worth and potential in me in such a clear way that for the first time, I believed that I could do it. And I think that's a defining moment for all of us, is when you decide that not somebody else telling you that you're good enough, but that you're yourself good enough to go out and do it. So that's my first defining moment before the Corey story that we'll tell later at some point.
No, forget it. We're not telling it now.
No.
Hurt my feelings.
No, you're good. So what about you?
I think about, for me, I mean, there are moments. I mean, I talked about Ellis, right? You need to take the $50,000 job. I think about just a few weeks. I was in a rough spot. A few weeks later, I took my insurance exam and failed it.
That'll hurt you.
Yeah, and they print out a picture of your face, and it says failed right under it. I still have that, by the way. I think about when I was in the middle of Lake Lanier at 6 in the morning. Somebody had just died from a beaver bite the day before. It's pouring down rain. And I literally had the thought, this is what it means to sink or swim. I didn't have a life vest. I mean, I think about that. But not just a couple years ago, let me go here, because I think as I think about this evolution that we have, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I mean, we've talked about Jerry Maguire being 35 when he has that, I'm going to write a mission statement. This is not a memo defining moment, right? Like, I think for me, I remember a few years ago, gosh, I might have been 35. I'm going to go with that because that's how old Jerry was when he had his moment. We were at the beach, was with my son, my oldest son, John David, at the time. We're throwing this skip ball in the water where you would throw it and it would bounce off the water. And in theory, go to the person that you're throwing it to, right? And I couldn't get it to do that. And I remember getting frustrated and gripping the ball harder, throwing it harder. And the more I did that, the more it went where I didn't want it to go. And so finally, just out of pure, you know, waving the white flag, I just tossed the ball, lobbed it, and it went exactly where I had hoped it would go. And I camped on that the rest of that, our time throwing that evening, the next day, and obviously still to today. And I thought, what did I learn there? And it wasn't this idea of, you know, there's a song after that too, right? I mean, Hold On Loosely. Yes, there's a song. I was hoping you'd bring that up. We're not in sync.
Don't let it go.
But it wasn't the fact that, okay, I'm not in control of where this ball would go. It was the perception of control, because I never was in control in the first place, right? And I think that's one of the things I learned in my 30s. It wasn't that I got to let go of control. It was, I've never been in control anyways.
Yeah.
Right? But I start living out of that. And that was a defining moment for me. And it's translated and helped me in my marriage and my business and my relationships a number of different times.
That's powerful. And those defining moments shape our perspective, which is how you see what you do. Mm-hmm. Shape our education, how you know what you do.
Yep.
And shape our experience, how you deliver what you do. The more that you can connect and understand those defining moments and then be able to articulate them is so important for you to become the goat that's inside of you. Drucker says this that I think is so powerful, and it reminds me of the stories that we've told today. He said, in the knowledge-based economy, you have to know two things. Number one is to understand and articulate your value. And then number two is put yourself in a position to use it. If we know that our stories shape our identity and our behavior and our outcome, then certainly it would make sense to understand those stories and then put them together in ways that people can make sense of them.
And maybe do a podcast
around them. Absolutely.
Tell your friends.
Let's do it. Yeah. You know, and it reminds me of this. I was doing a coaching session once, and the coaching framework that I use is, what's the greatest realization and what's the greatest result, and what activities are you committed to from the realization and result? And so the cool thing about helping 18-year-olds is you don't have to help them that much to have a massive impact with them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like changing the trajectory from, you know, Alaska to Aruba. If you just help them that much, 10 degrees, it's going to take them to a much warmer place that's got beautiful beaches and sand versus the cold and the mountains and the snow of Alaska. Not to say that's not a beautiful place, and I haven't thought about taking an Alaskan cruise. But the first thing that he said in responding to, and what's funny, when you do it to 18-year-olds, you turn around, and this kid's name was Dawson. I said, hey, Dawson, what's the greatest realization that you had? And he was waiting for me to give him the answer. Just looking at me, tell me, what do you think? I said, I'm not here to tell you, you're here to tell me. And he said, what I'm doing isn't working. And those moments that we have in our lives make us take a step back and say, what is working and what isn't?
Stop gripping
the ball so tight. Kobe, you're good enough. Even though you're a middle child and you got an older brother that did it first and a younger brother that did it better, you can do it too. You just got to go and do it. Mm-hmm. Tyler, don't take one of those things. Take all those things. Wrap them up just the way you want. And then around that wrap the idea of making everybody that you build a relationship better. That's the defining moment. This podcast is grounded in a simple idea that we want you to take content and we want to serve it up in a way that you can get it. We want you to identify the goat that's inside of you, that person that can take you and help you compete on perspective and education experience to find new levels of challenge, to find new levels of results. And when you're in that moment, to let that energy impact you and impact other people, you can hear the energy when you talk about the success. You can feel it.
Yep.
When you walk into a 21,000 square foot facility that you put together in 18 months that now has a TrackMan golf simulator and baseball batting cages and sound system and all the things that go along with it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is in there struggling, making it figured out. Take the time, make the investment, take a step back, ask yourself, what are the defining moments of your life? That's one of the first steps, I think, in becoming a GOAT. We're going to wrap it up for today. We're in here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. They do call him Tyler at the playground, and they will have turf.
Turf playground.
Turf at the playground. Do you do playgrounds?
Absolutely.
Dog parks, playgrounds?
Absolutely.
You all do it all. From Podcast Studio One, serving it up in a way that you can get it. For Tyler and John, my name's Colby Jubenville, and this is the GOAT Consulting Podcast.